This is acoustic. This is cinematic. This is Road to the Garden. The little music is playing. It's acoustic, cinematic. How is everybody doing? Road to the Garden. We are back after the Big East tournament talking about some tournaments. Tommy, how are you doing on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday?
Mike, I am great. It is nice to hear your voice again. It was great seeing you over the past weekend at the Big East tournament. And I'm really excited to get into this episode. I'm going to be a little fired up because of the snubs in the Big East. And we will get right into that. But before we do, we have a sponsor, Mike. So how about we hear a word from our sponsors before that? Guys, we've teamed up with Rhythm. You already know March is filled with unpredictability, thrilling upsets, and madness all around. But what if AI could help you craft an awesome bracket and win some bets? Enter Rhythm, the AI sports betting app for player props and game picks. Rhythm stands at the forefront of innovation, offering sports enthusiasts a cutting-edge tool to elevate their March Madness experience. The app leverages assets, historical trends, player statistics, and more to help craft the perfect bracket and the picks for you. If you head to the link in our bio and on the House Enterprise website, you can sign up for free. That's right, free, to build your perfect bracket and help you conquer March. So head on over to Rhythm. That's R-I-T-H-M-M. Create your account, generate your free AI March Madness bracket, and win big. House Enterprise is also not responsible for any lost wages you make. Gamble responsibly and find the help if you need it for our legal team out there. And that was an ad read, Mike. We got through it.
Dude, I don't want to say it, but first of all, if there are any other sponsors out there, look, we need the money, guys. We need the fucking money. Please, please. Use Rhythm. Rhythm, I mean, it's a great app, truly.
We're big fans.
I've been using it all week. Thankfully, they came into my life. I discovered it. Use Rhythm. They're great. And all the other sponsors who'd sponsor this show are great, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're big Rhythm guys. Yeah, been using the AI tools all week. It's been really fun. I've enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. So go over to Rhythm.
Fuck off, Wagner. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. This kid just hit a pull-up three with 2 seconds left on the shot clock after the ball went into the backcourt.
That's tough. That's tough. You know what else is tough, Mike? Postseason basketball without three.
Just to suffer every night.
Lost along the way, starting with none other than the DePaul Blue Demons. Their season was over before it even started. Head coach Tony Stubblefield canned in a three-win season. 3-29 with wins over South Dakota, Louisville, and Chicago State. Maybe DePaul was the friends we made along the way. Maybe it wasn't. But their season is over, as is Georgetown's.
Yeah, unlike DePaul, actually, Georgetown had a really promising season. Until the second game started, Saturday, November 11th, the Holy Cross Crusaders came into D.C. Joe Octave had like 45 points. He was now in the transfer portal, by the way, Joe Octave. And the Georgetown Hoyas lost to Holy Cross 68-67. And the season ended from there. Coach Cooley put together a roster that was not ready for the Big East. They finished 328th in the country in defense and 360th in two-point defense. The mighty Georgetown Hoyas.
And the last team that we will be remembering fond memories this March, the St. John's Red Storm. Not even an all-white Armani suit could save their 20-win season and get them into March Madness. Should they have been in? Maybe. Are they in? No. And Rick Pitino has no time for the NIT. The transfer portal never sleeps, and neither does the city that he coaches in.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. That was off the dome. I was really happy with how that came out. All right, now to some actual basketball here. The Big East does have three teams, which is bullshit, in March Madness. The production quality of this show has gone through the roof since the Big East tournament. We have background music, and man, this is going to be a fun episode. The Big East ended up with only three teams, top three seeds. No idea how that makes sense. Big East Twitter is doing their thing, vouching for the Big East on all social media platforms. Yeah, it's insane, Mike. Three teams. Well, what was your reaction when you were watching the Selection Sunday show?
When they revealed Virginia, I pointed at the screen and yelled, "Fucking Virginia, are you kidding me?" And at that point, I knew there were three Big East teams. Yeah, after they announced like the first four matchup, I don't even know if Virginia was in that one. They announced the first one, and I was just like, "Oh no, this is not good, fellas. This is bad." And it was bad. I was like, "What the fuck are we doing here?" But yeah, the Big East got screwed. Like, there are no two ways about it. This, the league just got fucking screwed.
Absolutely. I knew it was over before it started. We had FAU revealed as the third team in as an eight seed.
It's like, oh God.
They would, in most bracketologist predictions, they were lucky to get a play-in game. And they were an eight seed. Yeah.
Did you see the way I gotta talk about this. Did you see the way the committee why they said like Seton Hall wasn't in it?
Refresh me.
The number one explanation was like they mentioned like their bad non-conference, which fair in my mind. Like if you just stop there, you fair enough. It's a bad take, but whatever, it's reasonable. But then they go with, and Donovan Klingon got hurt in the game when they played UConn.
Oh, I
didn't. How the fuck is that Seton Hall's fault? Did Jaheen Holloway like grab a fucking arrow and like slingshot it at his knee? What are we fucking doing here? How is that Seton Hall's fault? They beat the team in front of them, which had Donovan Klingon for a half. And you want to know what happened in the minutes Donovan Klingon played? Seton Hall was fucking winning still. I mean, that was bullshit.
They were winning when Donovan Klingon went down. It's just crazy. I mean, the disrespect to the Big East is, it's unfathomable. I don't understand it. It's, I don't know. I'll stop talking before I get myself in trouble here. But we do have three games to look forward to in March Madness amongst the other 34. Fantastic. Games in the first one we'll start off with are the overall favorites, the defending champions. We're not going to preview this Stetson game for UConn. UConn is the number one overall seed. I will give you one fun fact in this UConn Stetson game, which should tell you about all you need to know. Stetson's defense in KenPom out of 363 teams is ranked 342nd. UConn's offense is first. KenPom has us at about a 23-point game. You could double that, and I'd still take it. UConn is going to beat the breaks off of Stetson, and that's a shame because I really like Jalen Blackman from Stetson. I am not a huge fan of their brand of basketball, but Jalen Blackman is outstanding to watch.
I mean, he had like 40 in their ASUN tournament game, but yeah, UConn's going to win this game by 3,000 points. Yep. Jalen Blackman's really fucking good, though, so credit to Jalen Blackman. He's really good at basketball.
Shout out to Jalen Blackman. That's what it's all about here at the Road to the Garden podcast. But the aforementioned FAU is another contender here, and this is why I'm glad we have Mike DeRosa on the show. He has his own podcast, Dingin DeRosa. I think we've shouted it out every episode, but if not, we made sure to check that box this episode. Go check it out. It's a great show. They did a bracket breakdown last night. They had 1,000 people watching them on Twitter. That was really special. Really great to see for the two of them. But the point I'm making is they know a whole lot more about the landscape of college basketball outside of the Big East than I do. So it is going to be great to have them on this show. I'm not going to lie. I've maybe watched one Florida Atlantic game this year, maybe two. I really like their coach, Dusty May. Who knows if he'll be there next year. But this Florida Atlantic team, they lost to Temple when Temple went on their little Cinderella run in the AAC tournament. But before that, they were winners of four straight, North Texas, Memphis, North Texas again, and Tulane. 16th ranked offense in KenPom. What challenges does FAU present to UConn here, Mike?
It's just about the exact same team FAU had last year. We talked bad about FAU and like, oh yeah, they probably didn't like really have a great resume and deserve anything more than a play-in game, which I agree with. That said, they're going to beat Northwestern. Northwestern, the Fighting Boo Booies. Boo Booie is incredible at Northwestern. Oh my goodness, he is special. But Ty Berry's out. The Princeton transfer, whose name I can't think of off the top of my head, was injured for a little bit. Their bigs just aren't great. And I think the guards at Florida Atlantic, Elijah Martin, Jonnell Davis, Jalen Gaffney, UConn transfer. Oh, mini revenge game narrative. I didn't even think about that till just now. Jalen Gaffney playing against UConn in the NCAA tournament. Ooh. Ooh, we had a revenge game. That's something to look out for. But Vlad Golden, the guards on FAU, this team is explosive. When they have ceiling games, they are tough to beat. Their game against Arizona is far and away the best game they've played all season. It was in, I think, December. They put up 96 points in double overtime, beat Arizona, and one of the best games of the year. This team, when they are on, when they're hitting shots, when they're doing all that, they're really, really good. FAU presents more problems to UConn. It's simple. It's the guards and just the ceiling. Like, when those guards go off, they go off. They got, I mean, Brent Greenlee, too. I didn't even mention him. Like, guy could shoot 5 of 10 from 3 any given day. They're explosive. They're fun to watch. But UConn should beat them.
Yeah. Like what you said, that this is a lot of the same team from last year, the Final Four team. That'll be a good point of reference for a lot of people. But on the flip side, I like that you were bringing up Northwestern, which is where I'll turn to next. Outstanding three-point shooting team. Boo Booey's a defensive specialist. He can shoot the ball. Brooks Barnheiser as well. But like you mentioned, Ty Berry, they've been with for a little bit. Matthew Nicholson, their big man, has been out for a while as well. And without those two, I don't think they stand a chance versus UConn. In my bracket, I don't even have them getting past FAU, and I'm not even the biggest fan of FAU this year. But yeah, out of the two, I think FAU would be a bigger challenge to UConn, especially without Matthew Nicholson. Their 7-footer on Northwestern is would be the front line against Donovan Kling. Without him, it would just be barbecue chicken in the post every time.
UConn would be a pretty big bet if they end up playing Northwestern. The only way Northwestern wins that game is if we have a Boo Booey legacy game, and I'm talking like 50 points.
They did beat Purdue, and then they took them to overtime the second time, if I'm remembering right.
Boo Booey just goes off against Purdue. So if he just goes off against good teams, they had a chance. But I'm talking, we need Boo Booey to go off if they're going to be competitive against UConn.
That's fair. All right, shall we move on to the flip side of the bracket here?
Absolutely.
All right, we do have Marquette up next. Western Kentucky, the coolest mascot in all of sports, for my opinion. What's his name, Western Kentucky's mascot? That's
Big Red.
That's Big Red.
Oh, I love Big Red. He's my guy.
You do like Big Red. You've been very vocal about that. Western Kentucky's coming into this game winning 22 games in the CUSA this year. Their adjusted tempo is number one in KenPom. Yes. you seem like you have some thoughts. I'm going to let you have the floor.
No team in the country has made me more money this year than Western Kentucky. I love this team. They have high major size, high major athleticism. Brandon Newman, I don't even have the KenPom page pulled up. I'm just doing it off the dome right now. Brandon Newman, you have Purdue transfer. Christian Lander, you have, is a Indiana transfer, former five-star. Dominic Henry is their best player. Babacar Faye inside. Rodney Howard inside, played at Georgia and Georgia Tech. Dante Allen, a Kentucky transfer. This team is has talent, and they are well-coached. For the last few years, Western Kentucky would just have a ton of talent, and they were one of the dumbest teams in the country. Steve Lutz came in year one. Steve Lutz is an excellent coach. He did a really good job at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. He came in, and he's doing a really good job at Western Kentucky. This team is good. They are really fast. I mean, they're the fastest-paced team in the country. They defend fairly well. Like, it's hard to get good looks against them. Just, A, because of the pace. They kind of blitz you. They pressure you a ton. And they just look to get up and get down. They're good defensively. They're physical. They're athletic. They're not the best shooting team in any respect. And they turn the ball over quite a bit. They make a lot of mistakes. But this team plays fast. They're well-coached. And they have talent. I really, really like this team. They look to score, go inside. They score a lot of their buckets on the interior, which I think kind of plays into Marquette's hand a little bit. So I think Marquette will win this game. Like, I'm not picking a 15 over a 2 this year. If there was one, it would be this one. I really like this Western Kentucky team. I think they keep it closer than Marquette fans want them to, but I think Marquette will pull away in the end.
I was just going to say that if there was a 15-2 upset this year, I think I'd be looking at this one as well. This team, I haven't watched a game of Western Kentucky this year. You must forgive me. But I mean, looking at their KenPom page, they look fast and furious. I mean, the 51.9% effective field goal percentage. But they turn the ball over a lot, and they play so fast. So it's just going to be such a frantic pace. Tyler Kolek, in his first game back from this oblique injury, is going to try and have to keep up with that. I do think Marquette wins this game. I think it's going to be a really fun game. But, yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is going to be a fun one. But if they get past Western Kentucky, which they should, I am picking them to – we have a little double duty here. We have Boise State and Colorado and Florida. The winner of Boise State, Colorado, obviously playing Florida. I'm a lot higher. I'm actually very high on Boise State this year. I think they could win games with an S in March Madness aside from Colorado. But in my official bracket I'm submitting, I do have Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if Boise State did it, but I do have Florida. Even without Hanlogden, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah,
Kevin Ware type injury in the SEC championship game. It was, it was Micah Hanlogden. Prayers out to him. That was tough to watch. But I think the team's going to rally around him. I picked Florida, so we'll talk about Florida first here. You're enamored by their guard play.
Excellent guards. Walter Clayton was a guy St. John's looked at a lot. Played with Rick Pitino and Iona. He is excellent. Zion Pullen, he didn't play in the first few games because he played at Portsmouth, I believe. They have so many dynamic guards. Will Richard, Riley Kugel, excellent shooters. This team is just guard-driven. Their guards are excellent. Walter Clayton and Zion Pullen in particular have been absolutely excellent this year. And then you're going to get a good game from one of the two of Kugel or Richard. You don't know which one it is. It's usually Kugel. But one of the two is going to have a decent game. Kugel actually didn't play in the SEC tournament. He didn't play in the back half, so I'm assuming he's going to play in this tournament, but not 100% sure. But yeah, the guards on this team are excellent. And there's a familiar face inside, Tommy. Let me know if you remember this name. Tyrese Samuel.
Seton Hall.
Three or four years, quite a bit at Seton Hall. He's going to be their big man, and he has been really good lately. This is the best Tyrese Samuel we've seen in his entire career. He's been really good down the stretch, and he's not going to be afraid of going up against Oso. He's matched up with Oso quite a bit. So, yeah, I think Florida's a team that could scare Marquette. I think their guard play is excellent. They shoot the ball really well. They play fast. So a lot of these Marquette games are going to be really high scoring. Played at a very similar pace to the way Marquette wants to play. And Florida crashes the glass really well. That is something that scares me. Now, how will they do that without Hanlogden? We don't know. But they crash the glass really well. And if they're doing that and Marquette's not rebounding well and Florida's also getting good looks from three, it could be a tough game, but I will lean Marquette in this spot. I think Marquette will get to the Sweet 16, but Florida is not a team to walk over. This team, their guards are excellent. Excellent guard play. This game is going to be so much fun. These two Marquette games are going to be sweaty as hell, and they're going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Tyrese Samuel connection. That'll be nice for our listeners to sit back and reminisce on. But Florida, coming into this game, I mean, they lost to Auburn in the SEC championship game after losing one of their key players in that one, but they have wins over Alabama where they put up 102 points on a neutral site. They have a win over Texas A&M where they put up 95 points, a win over Georgia where they put up 85. They lost a cheeky one to Vanderbilt at the end of the year. I guess that was Jerry Stackhouse's parting gift.
Vanderbilt stinks. That was embarrassing.
That was, but they put up 105 again on Alabama the game before that. So this is a high-powered offense and the 83rd-ranked defense in the country. So definitely not a team to overlook in this one. But that'll bring us to our last team in the official NCAA March Madness before we get to the real March Madness, which we call the NIT. Michael is on his way to the NIT directly after recording this. I know Providence is playing right now. Let's check to... Oh my God, it's 23-13 Wagner?
Dude, Howard can't make a shot. They've missed like four easy bunnies. Wagner's banked in like three dumb shots. This is not good, Thompson. This is not good. But Howard has drawn a lot of fouls, so we're hoping they just continue to get to the line. I've been sweating it and trying not to react, but I'm pretty pissed with how this game's going. I'm not going to lie. Howard, I think since I've turned on since we've started the show, it's been almost 20 minutes now. I think they've scored 2 field goals.
That's tough.
It's not good. It's not good, Bob. This is not good.
Not good. Also not good for Providence fans. They have scored 4 points in the first 5 minutes of this one, which is ironically the margin they trail by. Still a whole lot of time left, but without Devin Carter,
is Quentin Post playing in that game?
Is Quentin Post playing in the? Yes.
Okay. Shit.
I'm not sure. He hasn't logged a stat yet. I'm just looking at the. Ooh. I'll look into that. You tell me about Creighton.
Yeah, so Creighton firstly matches up with Akron. They were the MAC champions. Former Butler player, Ali Ali, transferred to Akron, coming from Butler, where he had transferred from Akron. So he went Akron, Butler, Akron. He went back to Akron. He's good at that level. He's much better at that level. He's better at the role Akron has him playing as like a versatile wing who can kind of do it all, does whatever he really wants offensively. Good score at 3 levels. That's it. I think Baylor Shireman matched up well with him. And I really like big man Enrique Freeman at Akron. He is big. He's not like the biggest guy. I think he's like 6'9 listed, but he's physical. He's tough. The kid's not going to quit on anything. He's not afraid of Ryan Kalkbrenner, I can tell you that much. Those two are a really good 1-2 punch for the MAC. The rest of that roster is like, like, they don't really scare me for Creighton, I'll be honest. Like, I think Creighton should kind of roll in this spot. Akron's fun. Akron will keep this game competitive for quite a while. But, yeah, aside from those two, I don't think really anyone presents a ton of problems. I love Enrique Freeman, though. I mean, he is the lead on KenPom. He is the leading defensive rebound percentage in the country, 32.3%. The dude is a force inside. He is physical. He is mean. This team shoots well inside the arc. I think Creighton will give him some of those looks, but they're not going to hit the jump shots to keep up with Creighton.
No, I completely agree. And I think Creighton's biggest asset in March Madness is, well, I don't want to say asset, but they do have the firepower of their big three or four, whatever you want to call it. If you want to include Steven Ashworth or not, that's your prerogative. But I think Creighton's best players are going to be on full display. Everybody tightens up their rotation in March, obviously, but Creighton has four of, I think if you look at the best lineups in the country, they are, they're certainly up there. But the next game after that is going to be pretty fun. I know Oregon over South Carolina is going to be an extremely popular upset pick. I know you did your bracket last night. Did you pick Oregon or did you pick South Carolina?
I took the Ducks. I think we can talk about both matches in this one because I think they're very interesting. But I took the Ducks. Oregon is a team that just was – they were not healthy all year long. Like, there is no team in the country that has had a worse injury bug these last few years than Oregon. And this Oregon team had a ton of depth in the backcourt. That was, like, the last few years they've had a ton of backcourt injuries. So this year they had all the frontcourt injuries. Rough draw for Dana Altman, ex-Creighton coach, by the way. So a little bit of revenge game narrative there. We got double revenge games in the Big East. Look at that. No revenge in Marquette. I don't think any potential Marquette matchup is any revenge angle. So that's tough. But if there is someone, let us know. But back to the Creighton side of things. I went with Oregon in this game. And Fali Dante is really good inside. He is really, really good. He's big. He's physical. He has good hands. He's strong. He'll just dunk just about everything. He's the best big man in this game. He is better than Ryan Kalkbrenner, in my opinion. And that is not a slight to Ryan Kalkbrenner. I think Fali Dante is one of the best 5 big men in the country. When he is on, he is on. He is a force to be reckoned with. He's athletic, but just big, physical, finishes over either hand. He's really, really good. And they have good guards, too. Jackson Shelstead is a freshman. He's been one of the best freshmen in the country this year. When Oregon had everybody out, he willed them to victory in multiple games, kept them alive, and was excellent in their run through the Pac-12 tournament, which allowed them to steal the auto bid. This Oregon team is really good. My KenPom just crashed for absolutely no reason. Back, thankfully. We mentioned Shelstead. They're getting healthier on the wings. Che Evans came back. He's been playing pretty well. I think he's a decent matchup for a Baylor Shireman. Jermaine Cousinard, Kari Okwendo, the two guys, good slashers. They probably match up with Trey Alexander or Steven Ashworth. I think this team is really good. They're really good inside. They don't turn the ball over a ton. They're big, strong. They will look to score a lot of twos. Creighton's willing to give some of that up. I think they'll take some of those looks. They're not a great three-point shooting team, but I think Oregon has the pieces to defend them physically. Their defense got much better, particularly in the Pac-12 tournament. As I was doing the show with Chris yesterday, one thing he mentioned, and it was a very sharp point, is that Oregon defensively, they just like to switch up a ton of looks. They like to give you as many different looks as possible because they only had seven guys for times in the year. They can't really practice that. Now, towards the end of the year, when everyone's finally healthy, they can. And I think that changes, like, it'll be tough for Creighton to score on four or five different looks. They'll be able to stick with what works. And lastly, Brennan Rigsby is a JUCO transfer off the bench. He's a white guy. Good shooter. Good dunker, too. Had a really good poster dunk in one of the first games of the season. Yeah. Oregon's talented. I'm with Oregon in this spot. And then they play Creighton. I think that's a very close game. I went with Creighton in my bracket for now, but I could talk myself into Oregon. And I, knowing that I have Oregon going too far every single year, it sounds like something I'm going to end up doing and regretting. But for now, I got Creighton.
Wow. That was very sharp.
Thank you, sir.
Did you say, so, all right, I just wanted to clarify. So you said that you had Creighton advancing past Oregon for now, but it's still up in the air.
Correct.
All right. God, that was such a thorough breakdown of that Oregon.
I just missed another three layups, Howard. Come on.
And Providence took the lead, so I guess I'll go fuck myself for all the Friars fans listening. it's 11-9, but they still took the lead. Only for me to tell you, that thorough breakdown, only for me to tell you, I picked the national head coach of the year, likely Lamont Paris, and the Gamecocks here. I like South Carolina in this one. I completely agree with your point. Oregon's dealt with some awful, awful health bugs, but South Carolina is balanced. They're deep. Their offensive and defensive efficiency are within 10 spots of each other. They're both hovering around the 50s. Michi Johnson, he's a 6'2 junior. I'm a really big fan of his game. They have some impressive wins. They beat Florida. They beat Tennessee. Mississippi State's a decent win. Grand Canyon. They played DePaul this year, which is nice. They only beat them by 5, which is not helping my case at all. But yeah, they beat Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Arkansas. So you get the point. Yeah. I think in March, I'm not saying at all that Dana Altman's a bad coach. I mean, he's been to a Final Four. But Lamont Paris, I'm excited to see what he can do in March Madness this year. I like the Gamecocks in this one.
Yeah, so South Carolina, they've been a team I've actually followed pretty closely all year. They're really good. They like to muck the game up. They cannot play in a game that is fast. They just get out-athleted. But in a game that is just in the half court, really slowed down, they muck that shit up. Really good team. Michi Johnson's finally playing. He's playing his best ball of his college career. Very happy for him. He was a very highly touted freshman. Didn't really work out at Ohio State. Didn't work out until really this year. So happy for him. BJ Mack inside has been really good for South Carolina. I'm fairly surprised he's worked out as well as he has there. And lastly, their freshman, Colin Murray Boyles, is just excellent, dude. Oh my goodness. He is great. Ooh, that's big time. He has been great for the Gamecocks. Colin Murray Boyles has been one of the most like low-key freshmen in the country, and he has just been absolutely excellent. Those three guys are their three key players. Then just the rest of their role players, just they know their role. They're not going to do too much. Talon Cooper is a Morehead State and Minnesota transfer. He just kind of knows what he's doing. He's a good, very good ball mover, good shooter. Jacoby Wright, they're just going to guys who do their job. This team defends really well. They're not going to be afraid in this game. They slow the game down, they muck it up, and they look to out-execute you. And that's probably what they're going to do against Creighton if they get there. And I don't know if it's going to work against Creighton. I think if Creighton is off, if they don't have a good shooting day, this game could be like greasy. But if Creighton's on, and when Creighton's on, this game could get ugly. South Carolina will have to do everything they can to keep it in the half court if they want to win this game.
Yep, I completely agree. All right, do you want to move on to the real March Madness here? Well, we're about halfway through our show. We got 5 games to break down.
NIT, the world's first NIT podcast, baby. Let's do this.
Coming to you live, doing NIT bracketology 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Stuff it, John Rothstein. All right. We are, I can't believe we're going to do this, but The Big East has five teams in the NIT. They could have had six if Pitino did not opt out, but I don't blame him. I feel like Rick Pitino's like he's above the NIT at this point. He wants a head start.
He's gonna get 10 new players, man. We're gonna if we do opt-in content, yeah,
10 of
we're
them.
Just gonna be talking about St. John's players every week.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be great. Because it's a revolving door out there in Manhattan. And it's going to be a ton of fun. But the first NIT game we're going to talk about is the number one overall seed, Seton Hall Pirates. Now, we've been talking about Seton Hall on the podcast all year long. You guys know about them already. But they do have a game coming up against a team that I'm actually familiar with.
You know more about them.
Villanova played them this year. I watched a lot of their games. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of this team. Their biggest problem is inconsistency, and that would be the St. Joseph's Hawks. They're led by a trio of really impressive guards. I have my eyes on Eric Reynolds out of St. Joe's. He's a 6'2 junior, extremely talented. Xavier Brown is an extremely talented freshman. From Philadelphia, Lynn Greer, obviously, great basketball background, but Rashear Fleming has really stepped up recently, and Kreese Esendoko, 7-foot freshman who can be talented at times, but wildly inconsistent this year. This is a really solid St. Joe's team. Billy Lang is the head coach over there, and I mean, he's about as inconsistent as a head coach you can get, which makes sense. When you look at this roster and see all the talent that they have, they finished 21-13. But talk to me a little bit about this matchup here.
Yeah, you probably know more about St. Joe's than I do. I watched the Villanova game, and I probably watched another game at one point, and that's it. Probably against the Bonnies because I love the Bonnies. I'm just sucker for the Bonnies every year. But St. Joe's, they chuck a ton of threes. They have great guards. They're not particularly physical. I think that's where Seton Hall is going to take advantage of them, especially because if you can put a Kadari Richmond, someone who's 6'6", long, athletic, on Eric Reynolds or on Xavier Brown, and those guys just aren't going off, it's kind of tough. St. Joe's very inconsistent, and I think they kind of struggle with that like sort of physical brand of basketball. I think that's what Seton Hall is going to bring. Do we know how amped they are for the NIT? No, we don't. I think that's kind of something you have to cap, but like when we're talking about the St. Joe's team and how inconsistent they are, take Kentucky at Kentucky to overtime, beat Villanova at Villanova. But you want to know what happened in the game before they beat? They almost beat Kentucky. They lost to Texas A&M Commerce, 329th in KenPom.
Yep.
This team is incredibly inconsistent because they just chuck a ton of threes.
Yeah. They beat Princeton. They beat Villanova.
Eric Reynolds, Duquesne. He is someone who I think Big East people might learn the name of a little. If you're like a very niche Big East person, you might learn the name of for a bit. Yeah, St. Joe's. I'm picking Seton Hall, but fucking NIT, what do I know?
I love St. Joe's. I want to pick them so bad, but the trio of guards that they have for as talented as they are all 6'2". And you made a great point about bringing the physicality. I don't know. I'm going to reserve my pick for the first 5 minutes of the game to see which St. Joe's team shows up, and then I'm going to make a pick, maybe with 5 minutes left in the game. So can never be wrong. Love it.
Seth, right. Count, you are 26. You don't need to shoot from the hash mark. Sorry.
Michael is watching Seth Towns, who is literally my age, play for Howard. What's the score of that game, Mike?
31-20. A shot went up as you asked.
All right. We can live with 31-20, but that will bring us to our next game, Xavier and Georgia. Quincy Oliveri, his first game back in Georgia. He's very excited to play there. Did I skip over your team?
No, but was it 9? I think Xavier's playing right now, are they?
Is Xavier playing right now? The 19th?
Tomorrow. 19th is today.
Yeah, they're playing right now. What's the score of that one?
Oh, what is the score of that one? Is it going to show up?
If it doesn't, that's okay. I'll tell you a little bit about Georgia. Well,
the Musketeers are down by 6, 19. Oh, now they're down by 4, 19-15.
All right. I watched the Georgia game this year, and I think I texted you about it. It was when I was kind of branching back out into my national scope of college basketball teams. There's no team I dislike watching more than the Georgia Bulldogs. And it's hard to watch, to be honest with you. They have the 108th ranked offense on KenPom, and I think that's inflated. It's just a terrible brand of basketball to try to enjoy. But on the bright side for them, they have, they have their five guys, and that's really it for them. Noah Thomason, Silas DeMary, Justin Hill, Jabari Abdul.
That's the second fucking time the ball's gone in the backcourt, and they hit a three from the logo.
You just scared the absolute shivers out of me. I was looking at the KenPom page, and I was not ready for that burst. I know you guys can hear it wherever you're listening to this podcast, but I promise you it's 10 times louder over here. And I thought I would need a minute to catch my breath, but we're good. RJ Melendez and Blue Kane, which is an awesome name. I can't believe he's 6'5". He has like a blonde ponytail. That's what it says. It's a program-friendly 6'5".
Yeah.
He's a little white dude with a blonde ponytail, and his name is Blue. And it's, I like watching
his game. He had a half-court buzzer beater in a game I was watching. It was when I was watching Trey Green. It was against Prolific. I believe Trey Green was at Prolific. He had a half-court buzzer beater. It was very incredible. He had an excellent game. So I know Blue Kane can play.
Blue Kane's a hooper. He is for sure. But if they do advance past Georgia, it's going to be an uphill battle for them now. But they would take on the winner of Wake Forest, who is the number one seed, or App State. We got to get ODJ Hoops on here. I know you had him on your show.
Yeah. My guy.
Big Wake Forest guy, but
he tweeted something. He said, like, he did like one of those whisper things, like whisper, Wake's gonna lose this game
to App State. Why?
App State's really good, and I don't know if Wake really like is playing for anything in this game. I think they're just kind of like down. They didn't make the tournament. App State's really good. Like, they shut out Miles Tate, Butler transfer. Other dude, they did really well, particularly in conference play. They won the Sun Belt. That was a good league. They did lose in the conference tournament fairly early. JMU, in my mind, was the rightful champion. But yeah, App State's really good. They defend really well. They're just well-coached team.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know enough to comment on the on the status of how well coached they are, but I truly, truly believe that you do, and we'll take your word for it. But little fun fact about this game: they have a swimming and diving championship going on at Georgia right now, and all of the hotels near campus were booked, so Xavier had to stay in a hotel that usually hosts away football teams when they play in Athens and Atlanta, and it was about an hour away from the stadium. So if Xavier's losing early, which they are right now, give them a little bit to wake up. They just had an hour long car ride. Something just happened in the in the Wagner game. Michael is upset right now, so we will move on. We'll talk about his team, because that never makes him upset. The Butler Bulldogs taking on Minnesota from the land of the Chris Thadingas, which I learned how to pronounce correctly this weekend, which was great. Talk to me about Minnesota.
Yeah, as I got a call, so the Howard game pulled off. Minnesota, good. Really, we'll start with Dawson Garcia, former Big East player. Really good at the sport of basketball. He's averaging, I think, almost like 17 a game, if not a little more. Dynamic, like big wing kind of thing. Really good inside the arc. Kind of like an old man game, so he's flashy. He's got that. And then one of the guards I really like, Elijah Hawkins. He is someone I was really high on out of high school. He ended up going to Howard. He was on the same high school team at Dematha as Jordan Hawkins. So I thought, like, oh, this is just Jordan Hawkins' younger brother when I was watching him play. This kid's really good. He's probably like a sophomore. No, turns out that kid, and he was at Howard for a little while. He's second in the country in assists. So I'm really, really high on Elijah Hawkins. I'm really glad he's working out well there. Just looking at the rest of this Minnesota team, though, no one really stands out to me. Tommy went to piss, by the way. He has no idea what I'm saying. So I'm just kind of stalling right now. Back to Minnesota. No one else really stands out. Parker Fox is solid. Cam Christie is the brother of Max Christie, who was drafted to the Lakers, I believe. So yeah, they get a fairly talented team. They're nothing like special, nothing out of this world. I think Butler's just more talented all around. I think Butler should win this game. I think both teams are really going to care though, because this is their first pro season action in quite a while. There's two programs that were on the down that are kind of like hoping to be going back up. Shut up, Ben Johnson, with this year. I love Elijah Hawkins. I think this interior battle is going to be good. But in the end, I am going with Butler, especially because I don't want to see Butler lose another game. I've seen that too many times in my life. Just win one more. I don't know. They're going to lose to Indiana State anyway.
Speaking of Indiana State, I was on their KenPom page getting ready to talk about them next because of, obviously, the main attraction, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What did you call him? Larry Nerd. That's right. The 22-ranked offense, the Sycamores out of Terre Haute, Indiana, 28-6 this year, 45th in KenPom. Listen to this, Mike, on their KenPom page. They're number one in effective field goal percentage, number one in two-point jump shot percentage, number three in free throw percentage, number 11 in three-point percentage.
They're so good offensively.
So good offensively. 39% of their points come from the three. They're sixth in the country in three-pointers made as opposed to field goals attempted. I mean, this team is nuts offensively. And that starts with their head coach, Josh Schertz. Obviously, we talk a lot about Robbie Avila. They're 6'10". I mean, he's got the steroid acne and the glasses that he wears during the games. And he's just a bucket. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That kid's a bucket, but they got some other great players on their team. Ryan Conwell, Isaiah Swope, 5'10". Shout out to all the 5'10 kings out there. We're representing.
Press up, baby.
Press up. That's right. But yeah, I think Indiana State could win this whole thing, to be honest with you. I really like this squad, and they're going to be pissed off coming into it. It's going to be interesting to see who plays and who doesn't. Obviously, that'll be for any team, but
I think everyone plays for Indiana State. They just seem like it's.
I don't know why they wouldn't, right?
Yeah. They don't have like a legit NBA prospect, but their guards are really quick. Julian Larry, someone I really like inside, plays well with Robbie Avila. They got some athletic bigs, but they're just so solid. They run the floor when they want to. Their guards are, as I mentioned, they're really quick. This team runs some beautiful offense. Their spacing is just fucking gorgeous. Oh my God, it is. It's gorgeous. They're so much fun to watch. I really like watching this team because everyone on the floor is a really good passer too. Really good passer. They space the floor really well. They just run beautiful offense, and they got really quick guards. I think Indiana State's going to be Butler. I think Indiana State could win this tournament. I think Indiana State's the best team in this NIT tournament.
I agree. Even with the teams like Wake Forest in there, I completely
Wake the Nation, baby.
maybe St. Louis will be in it next year. Billikens. It's a little Josh Schertz. Anyways, moving on, we have Boston College and Providence playing right now.
Quinton Post, game. Really good. Rest of BC, meh. There's the BC update.
Very true. Jaden Pierre is up to 10 points on 4 of 7.
Jaden Pierre. He had a good Big East tournament run, too. Yeah,
Jaden Pierre. Josh Oduro, 4 points, 5 rebounds early on. Tekki Gaines, 5 points. He hasn't made a 3 since Nam. Corey Floyd Jr. is 2 of 4 from the field so far. I mean, without Devin Carter, this is going to be extremely hard game for Providence to win. But they are up by 4 here.
Good for them. Rock on, Friartown.
Quinton Post has 6 early. 2 of 5. Devin McLaughlin is a cool name. 6'7 sophomore out of Covington, Georgia. He's their leading scorer with 7 points. It's, I don't know. This is an interesting matchup for Providence. If you told me that Devin Carter wasn't playing, I would have told you they have no chance. And they still might lose this game. But, I mean, as we're recording this show, I mean, I'm proud of them for sticking in it for sure.
Yeah, I agreed. Quinton Post. If it was no Devin Carter versus no Quinton Post, I think that'd be about equal based on the impact those guys have. Devin Carter, I think, has a little more, but like Quinton Post is really, really good. The fact that Quinton Post is playing and this game's fairly close, props to Providence.
Yeah, absolutely. They're pissed off. That's for sure. They're pissed off about their NCAA tournament snub. Road to being snubbed is the title of this episode, as it appears in the top left. as created by our good friend Michael DeRosa. But
oh, that's me.
Tis you. Yeah. We only have one NIT game left, Mike. It's the Villanova Wildcats. They're going to be hosting the VCU Rams at the Finneran Pavilion for the first time since I've been covering the team. They have $2 beer night at the Finn. All NIT tickets are mandated $25. It's going to be a fun atmosphere, I think. I mean, it's a Wednesday night at 9 p.m., which is probably the least fun time to have an atmosphere.
What about a Tuesday night at 9 p.m.?
It's tough because Monday night at 9 p.m. I'd give you, because sometimes you have Monday night football. You're riding the high of the weekend.
I just live bet Howard again, by the way, for the listeners. No one cares, but I did it again.
I love it. What are they at now?
Plus 270. They're on 11 at half. Wagner hit some fucking ridiculous shots.
All right. All right. We're all going to be Wagner fans, or I'm sorry, Howard fans, for the duration of this episode, the last 5 minutes of the show. But yeah, Villanova takes on VCU. This is going to be a fun one. Actually, fucking no, it's not. This is not going to be a fun
game. It's not going to be a fun game.
It's going to be so boring. The only thing Villanova has going for them is that nobody's sitting out except for Jordan Longino, who has a meniscus injury, or knee injury, left knee sprain. I'm sorry. But I mean, these are two teams who are incredibly slow. I mean, you look at VCU adjusted tempo 302nd in KenPom. You go over to Villanova 350th in adjusted tempo. Are two good defenses. You remember the Havoc days from Shaka Smart over there. The defense still remains true, but on the offensive end, I mean, they shoot a lot of threes. They have a lot of good 3-point shooters. Max Scholga being one of them.
Yep.
Yeah, this game's going to be slow. I'll be, I think, first to 60 wins this game. If anybody gets to 70, I'll be shocked. Even though in my prediction I said 71-66 Villanova, I think it'll be lower scoring than that.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to add on that. I don't think VCU is like – VCU is fine. Lost to McNeese opening day. Lost to Iowa State, Boise State. Beat Penn State in a game that I had money on Penn State on. I think that is one of two times I bet a VCU game. The other time was the Dayton game that went to overtime that they lost in overtime, but they covered the spread. VCU shoots a ton of threes. I think Ryan Odom is a good coach. He'll have this program going in the right direction. It'll take a little bit. I like their guards. Joe Bamseal, Zeb Jackson, they're bigger guards. They're more physical guards. So they're not like going to be out of it with Villanova in terms of like raw athleticism, which most teams at this point will, most A-10 teams would. In terms of skill, they are though. I don't think they have a match for Eric Dixon at all. I think it's going to be a slow, ugly, boring game. I'm going to go Villanova. That Eric Dixon guy's pretty good. I don't think Villanova's going to have a problem. Like, I think VCU's just going to turn the ball over. They're going to make mistakes. And I think they'll have a tougher time running Villanova off the line than they've had with other teams. And I think Eric Dixon's just too good. So I'm going to lean Villanova in this spot. I think it'll be an ugly, low-scoring game. This could be one Villanova just fucking loses and looks like just has one of those dumb Villanova games that they had in the Big East tournament against. What was that team? I don't know. Oh, yeah, DePaul. This could just be one of those Villanova games and they lose, but who knows?
Rude.
Yeah, it's kind of uncalled for.
No, I deserve it after that one. But then they took Marquette to overtime, which was cool.
Really fun game, too.
The Marquette one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think they stood a chance after how they came out against DePaul. If Villanova loses this one, there's going to need to be a lot of questions answered on the main line, and I'll talk about that on the main line minute, but that should do it for this episode of the show, Mike, unless you have anything else to add.
Howard's going to win this game. This audio will go up after the Howard game. I'm hoping to get it up before I get to the Butler game. That's not going to happen though. Howard's going to win this game. Howard's going to win outright. And that's all I got. Transfer portal. That's kind of interesting. That'll be a later thing, though, because we ain't got to talk about
it. Deshaun Nelson is the biggest name in the transfer portal for the Big East right now, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But he will not be the only one. There will be a lot more to come. So stay tuned on the Road to the Garden podcast, because we'll be breaking it all down. There's going to be some surprises, too. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
All right. Hey, people listening, take it easy. I'm hitting the unicorn button now.